couple things. October, I got some plans for October. Gonna do some spooky stuff if I can find enough to do like one for every week. I'm thinking about having a special Halloween episode. So we'll have an episode on. This is all assuming I can record everything in advance because October is gonna be very, very busy. So I'm gonna try to do one for Halloween for Saturday, and then I'll have a episode have an episode the following Monday, or I might skip one for that week for that Monday and have it on Halloween instead. Anyway, we'll figure that out later. Just wanted to let you know I got some plans. So today's topic is going to be eugenics, which is one of my favorite topics. So my sources are history.com and Britannica.com. And let's get into this. So the definition of eugenics is the study of how to arrange reproduction within a human population to increase the occurrence of heritable characteristics regarded as desirable. And eugenics, like literally translates to like good creation. I believe it's Greek or something. But it's essentially selective breeding for humans. It is aimed to reduce human suffering by breeding out disease, disabilities, and undesirable characteristics. This like also includes criminal behavior, mental illness, and like feeble-mindedness, and poverty, apparently. And it basically assumes nature over nurture. So like the environment you grow up in has zero input on your behavior and stuff, that it's all written into your DNA. And there are some traits that are based on your genetics, but a lot of it is learned. Like how you grow up, the situation you grow up in, all of that stuff. Anyway, back to my notes. Plato may have actually been the first to encourage eugenics in his The Republic. He writes about having high-class people procreating together would create a superior society and discouraged lower-class people from doing so. And he like made up some mating rules, such as like men should only have relations with a woman when arranged by their ruler, and incestuous relationships between parents and children were forbidden, but not between brother and sister. Like, yeah, no, that's the incest part is good. Like, you shouldn't have that. You shouldn't have that in general, really. But anyway, and then later on, we have Francis Galton, who is the first to coin the term eugenics in his book, Inquiries into Human Faculty and Its Development in 1883. And like he didn't even credit Plato. Like, how rude is that? So Galton's wording for it was eugenics would allow the more suitable races of strains of blood a better chance of prevailing speedily over the less suitable. He was actually cousins with Charles Darwin and took the theory of natural selection to apply to humans as well. And then in his earlier work in 1869, Hereditary Genius, he wrote about having arranged marriages between men of distinction and women of wealth to make a gifted race. There's so many problems with that. There's so many problems with that. Oh my gosh. And unfortunately, my homeboy, Gregor Mendel, his genetic experiments gave eugenicists, like, quote unquote, evidence for their ideas. For those of you who don't know, Mendel basically figured out that some traits were actually genetic and can be passed on to the offsprings. So he did a thing with pea plants, and through like a couple of generations, he figured out that, yeah, some of these traits were passed on. Fun fact, he fudged a lot of his data. So anything that didn't like fit in with his hypothesis, he discarded. So while it is true what he found out, he did not go about it the right way. So continuing on, so with Darwin's theory of evolution, Darwin actually concluded that, I think it was Darwin and Galton both like concluded that the greatest step for humans would be us realizing we can control our own future evolution through selective breeding. And with reproduction and eugenics becoming like its own thing, certain terms were developed, such as positive eugenics, meaning promoting the proliferation of good stock, and negative eugenics, prohibiting marriage and breeding between defective stock. And it actually became like a serious scientific study in the early 1900s. People wanted to determine which characteristics of quote unquote social importance were actually inherited, particularly intelligence and deviant behaviors. Oh my gosh. A lot of countries were interested, so this is like a worldwide thing, basically. So you've got like Scandinavian countries, most of the European countries, North America, Latin America, Japan, China, and Russia were all into this. So for the US, the like leading several leading scientific authorities who supported this included zoologist Charles B. Davenport, plant geneticist Edward M. East, and geneticist and Nobel Prize laureate Hermann J. Muller. And then you also had like some political leaders, such as President Theodore Roosevelt, Secretary of State Elihu Root, and Associate Justice of the Supreme Court John Marshall Harlan. Other places in the world, international support included British scientists J.B.S. Haldane and Julian Huxley, and Russian scientists, I'm gonna do my best to pronounce these correctly, Nikolay K. Kostov and Yuri A. Filipchenko. So that's kind of the worldwide stuff, the initial worldwide stuff. And then let's take a quick break and we'll get into some more specific stuff, particularly, how us Americans handled eugenics. Right. So now for eugenics in the US. A Connecticut 1896 marriage law made it illegal for people with epilepsy or who were feeble-minded to marry. Rude. In 1903, they made the American Breeders Association, which just sounds gross. John Harvey Kellogg, like the actual dude who made Kellogg cereal, he organized the Race Betterment Foundation in 1911 and established a pedigree registry. There were even national conferences in 1914, 1915, and 1928. I might actually cover an episode on him because he is crazy. He had some crazy ideas, dudes. So that might be fun. I'll do some research onto it and see if I can get some good stuff. So since eugenics started being like a big deal, the Eugenics Record Office was established. They tracked families and their genetic traits. Most of those they considered unfit were immigrants, minorities, and the poor. 1920s had congressional hearings to determine problems immigrants were causing. So now we get a eugenics expert named Harry Laughlin, and apparently he ran some numbers and said certain immigrants, so people from like Italy, Greece, and Eastern Europe, were significantly overrepresented in American prison and mental institutions. So, I mean, clearly that's bad stock, apparently. His full classification included, I got a big old list here that I copy and pasted from, I think it was History. No, this was Britannica. Anyway, quote, the feeble-minded, the insane, the criminalistic, the epileptic, the inebriate, the diseased, including those with tuberculosis, leprosy, and syphilis, the blind, the deaf, the deformed, the dependent, chronic recipients of charity, paupers, and ne'er-do-wells. End quote. There's so many problems. There's so many problems with that list. In 1923, Laughlin is sent by Secretary of Labor to Europe to investigate and figure out a plan to have all prospective immigrants interview before going to the US. And he ended up making a new law that restricted immigration from the countries who diluted the good stock. He apparently also claimed there was clear evidence that supposed negative family traits were caused by bad genes, not racism, economics, or social views. So they didn't stop at being total dicks. The early 20th century got forced sterilizations thanks to Laughlin. So instead of just being like, clearly you have bad genes, so you're not allowed to marry and procreate because of not reasons why we think so, just because of your genes. They ended up doing forced sterilizations, which basically went from you're not allowed to procreate, so we're going to make sure you can't procreate by removing your ovaries or testicles. Unfortunately, that is happening now. It's still happening. It's vomitous. Where was I? Oh yeah. So from 1909 to 1979, around 20,000 forced sterilizations occurred in California state mental institutions, and they were also performed on minorities. So it ended up being 33 states, did this to anyone lawmakers deemed unworthy to procreate. And in 1927, the US Supreme Court ruled that forced sterilizations of the handicapped doesn't violate the US Constitution. Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes said that three generations of imbeciles are enough, and it is better for all the world if instead of waiting to execute degenerate offspring for crime or to let them starve for their imbecility, society can prevent those who are manifestly unfit from continuing their kind. Gross. That's just so gross. Ugh. Now, we have Chicago's World's Fair, which had a, like, I don't want to say a fun serial killer, but a very interesting serial killer was also like around this time, H.H. Holmes. He had Not he, not H.H. Holmes. Oh my goodness, H.H. Holmes had his own things. The Chicago World's Fair had an exhibit titled Pedigree, Study in Man, and basically wanted to show how favorable traits could best be passed on. This also included comparing the Roosevelt family to the degenerate, like, Ishmael family. No idea why they went with that name. There's like, and apparently that was just one of several names they used for like these genetically poor families or whatever. And there's no like basis for it. They were just being dicks, I've decided. And they're racist dicks. They were probably racist dicks. Anyway. This also resulted in state and county fairs having fitter families contests where medals were awarded to the ideal families. And people figured since we did it for crops and livestock, might as well do it for humans too. So, like, you'd have like a blue ribbon, I don't know, pumpkin. And then you'd have like a blue ribbon cow. And now you have like blue ribbon Dave. Okay, I'm getting too passionate. I need to calm down so I can get back to my notes. Ooh. How's everyone doing? Are we all good? I'm very excited for October. I have so much stuff going on. I'm so excited. Anyway, where was I? Blue Ribbon Dave. 1942. Finally, 1942, we had the like the forced sterilization ruling overturned, and you know, it was far too late, of course. So many people had to undergo this. Between 1970 and 1976, like we figured out that 20% to like 50% of Native Americans were sterilized. And likely some of those were done during unrelated procedures, according to a Government Accountability Office investigation in 1976. So now we go back to uninformed consent. Anyway, and then like mothers would need to undergo sterilization before their living children could receive health care. Gross. Now, finally, eugenics is like frowned upon during World War II when Hitler went with it. So he was actually inspired by the US's genetics to like create the Aryan race. He decided Jews and gypsies were inferior. And German should do anything possible to keep the gene pool pure. And like that included genocide. Where did the rest of my notes go? Oh, no. It just went really short. Okay. I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. I freaked out. My computer had an issue originally, and I thought I like lost all my notes. I'm looking into like getting a laptop for this. Anyway, Nazis. Yeah. In 1933, like Hitler like made a law for it's a law for the prevention of hereditarily diseased offspring led to thousands of forced sterilizations, and this is like in the concentration camps and everything. Hitler's desire for his Aryan race led to hundreds of thousands of Germans with mental or physical disabilities to be euthanized. So now we have one of his doctors, Joseph Mengele. He did some horrific stuff. We're not going to cover that in this episode because he's going to get his own episode because he's a horrible, horrible human being, and we're going to talk about him. I might actually do that in October. 'Cause it's some bad stuff. Some bad juju, guys. Anyway, an estimated 11 million people died during the Holocaust because they didn't meet the Aryan race criteria. 11 million people, guys. 11 million. It's too much. It's too many people. Right. So now we're going to get into the modern eugenics, which is basically human genetic engineering. And now it's more about like changing or removing genes to prevent or cure diseases, to like improve one's body. So it's less about creating the superior race and more about letting you live your best life. And then this also falls under genetic counseling, which is actually like my dream job, but unfortunately, I was not able to go into that field because the college I was gonna go to canceled the program. And I'm too poor to go to like California or Georgia to get my master's degree. But genetic counseling is, so like if you want to have a baby, you'll see a genetics counselor and they will figure out the possibility of your child inheriting this genetic disease and like will help you make the choice if you want to proceed or not. And then if you do proceed and the child does end up getting that disease, that hereditary illness and whatnot, we will help basically help make life the best possible with that illness being a thing. So like technically it is eugenics, but it's not the gross kind of eugenics where we're like, no, just don't. Instead of being like, oh, you've got this hereditary disease, we're going to remove your reproductive organs. It is, you have this hereditary disease, and we will do our best to make their life as fantastic as possible. But either way, even with the genetics counseling and whatnot, it is a slippery slope because we could still get rid of any quote unquote undesirable traits in children. And who has the authority to decide what is an undesirable trait? And like hereditary disease, yeah, no, we should probably do our best to get that away. Just like, oh my gosh, what is it called? It's not syphilis. Sickle cell disease. Sickle cell disease is not great, but then again, it does have a benefit in certain societies because if you're heterogeneous for sickle cell anemia, you're less likely to contract oh my gosh, less likely to contract it's a mosquito, the mosquito thing. The mosquito disease. I can't remember it. Oh my goodness. Guys, I slept for like 12 hours because this weekend was crazy. And I can't remember anything right now. I'm gonna Google it. I'm gonna sing you some elevator music because I can't remember right now. Or we're gonna t Okay, I know. Better yet, I'm gonna talk about designer babies while I look this up. So then you could also have like designer babies. So like if you want a certain gender of child and you end up, I don't know, if you don't want a boy or something and then you get the genetic, we can do genetic like testing on embryos and stuff now. Not embryos, fetuses, zygotes. And if you end up If the baby ends up being a boy and you're like, ah, I don't want a boy, I really want a girl because I'm weird like that, then like you can abort the baby boy and it's really rude. Mosquito can spell it. Holy crap. Mosquito diseases. Starts with an M. Malaria! Malaria is the mosquito disease that sickle cell anemia helps. That heterozygous sickle cell anemia helps with. Just because it can't, like, get into the bloodstream because the blood cells are weird sickle shapes. Anyway, where was I? Designer babies. Designer babies and why sickle cell anemia is a good thing. So yeah, so like the communities in Africa where malaria is a big deal, like you kind of want to keep sickle cell anemia in the population. Like if you're homozygous, then you're... I'm using two wrong words. Oh my goodness, guys. I'm so sorry. Heterozygous. Heterogeneous. Yeah, no. I want heterogeneous, not heterozygous. Oh no, I want heterozygous. Anyway, you want heterozygous sickle cell genes in communities with malaria because you're less likely to get malaria, but like sickle cell anemia is not a great disease to have, so there's this weird like balance in such communities and whatnot. But like if you're trying to get rid of all these genetic diseases, now all of a sudden if you're in a community where there's zero sickle cell genes because you've genetically engineered them out, now everyone's going to die of malaria. Whew, that's what I was trying to say. I'm so sorry it took me so long to get there. But yeah, slippery slope. And designer babies. Designer babies are bad. Just love your child. Just love them, no matter what, because they're your baby. Okay, I'm getting very passionate about this. I'm so sorry. We're going to stop now. So, that was eugenics. You can follow me on, I realize I'm on Apple Podcasts, and I'm very excited about that. But if you could, like, I don't know, leave me a review. Maybe not based on this episode. So either leave me like a review, the whole like and subscribe. And then you can follow me on Twitter, which is, what is my Twitter thing? TW. So you can follow me at Twitter at TWW. This is why. No. TIWW. This is why we can't have nice things, but just the first letter. I've got it in the description. Anyway, of the like whole podcast. So yeah, follow me on Twitter. There, you can email me at the same handle at gmail.com. I would, if you have suggestions, if you just want to say hi, I would love to hear from my small audience. I know there's someone in New Zealand who's listening to me, and I love you. You're my first international listener, and you're amazing. I mean, all of you are amazing, really, all of you. I love all of you so much, and I want to talk to you, because, I mean, clearly you like listening to me. I want to know who you are. Anyway, so yeah, there's all that. So yeah, enough of my closing announcements. This is Ren Shepherd, and this is why we can't have nice things. All right, I'll see you guys later. Bye.